I guess when we open our readings, I would like to open it with the t-shirt that was up here. What does your t-shirt say? It says Super Dad, industrial music. Thank you. Our first reading is from John O'Donohue. It's called A Blessing for Your Birth. Blessed be the mind that dreamed the day the blueprint of your life would begin to glow on earth, illuminating all the faces and voices that would arrive to invite your soul to growth. Praised be your father and mother who loved you before you were and trusted to call you here with no idea who you would be. Blessed be those who have loved you into becoming who you were meant to be. Blessed be those who have crossed your life with dark gifts of hurt and loss that have helped to school your mind in the art of disappointment. When desolation surrounded you, blessed be those who looked for you and found you, their kind hands urgent to open a blue window in the gray wall formed around you. Blessed be the gifts you never notice. Your health, eyes to behold the world, thoughts to countenance the unknown, memory to harvest vanished days, your heart to feel the world's waves, your breath to breathe the nourishment of distance made intimate by earth. On this echoing day of your birth, may you open the gift of solitude in order to receive your soul, enter the generosity of silence to hear your hidden heart, and know the serenity of stillness to be enfolded anew by the miracle of your being. Blessed be those who have loved you into becoming who you are meant to be. Jay Wolin's piece is called Forgive Me and begins, "Forgive me, dear Father, for all the trouble I caused. The missed curfews." Now, this isn't me. Forgive me, dear Father, for all the trouble I caused. The missed curfews, the missed classes, your unfulfilled dreams for me. Forgive me, dear Father, but your dreams are not my dreams. Forgive me, dear Father, and I will forgive you for missed moments that you sacrificed so that one day I could follow my dreams. Now, forgive me, my son, for whatever errors I have made. Forgive me, my son, for what I did not know. Know that I sacrificed so that one day you could follow your dreams. May all our failings from generation to generation lead one day to wisdom. But until then, we will always have love. Maybe that is wisdom enough. So my reflection today is a father's blessing. And as we've said, today is Father's Day. And blessing is our Soul Matters theme for this month. I liked working with the concept of blessing. It spoke to me, but I know that I have to ask, is blessing even a word that works for you? I've stood up here and done talks on different subjects and then have somebody go, well, that word just doesn't work for me. Is it a word that works for you, blessing? Do you believe the sense that comes from our reading from John O'Donohue that the day you were born was a gift? Do you view life and you? Do you view your life as a gift, whether you identify a giver or not? So it's a blessing. Do you view life in general as being a ground where blessing in each of us emanates from? Has your life in general lived out in a way that affirms that? So what is a blessing? Reverend Elia Kimler asks, so what then does it mean to offer a blessing or to be a blessing? To bless something or someone is to invoke its wholeness, to help remind the person or thing you are blessing of its essence, its sacredness, its beauty, and to help remind yourself of that too. Blessing does not fix anything. It is not a cure. I always remind people of this when the animal blessing services come around and people want to help make their dog not be afraid of thunder or to stop barking every time the doorbell rings. A blessing does not fix us. It does not instill health or well-being or strength. Instead, it reminds us that those things are already there within us. And a blessing is a way to remember strength, to invoke the capacity to grow and heal and change and to resist giving up. That is all a blessing is, she says, but that is so much. I think of blessings as emanating from a background reality. So even when we give them, we are naming and participating in something that is. Viewed in this way, and for this discussion, it matters how we view the origins of the human condition. As Unitarian Universalists, we lean towards the positive sense, the positive feel of blessings and being blessed, even as we may tend away from thinking of the positive in terms of God language. We tend not to think much about the idea of original sin, or at least it's not where we start. Some of us may have started in that understanding in our childhood because many of us grew up with it. It is in the background of much that surrounds us culturally. In this view, humanity begins with a brokenness that then needs to be fixed. There is a right to begotten, a definite get it right, and an inherent unworthiness. What was that quote from the week? That laws are for the order, to maintain the order ordained by God. Some are broken in this view and some are not. Pedro Sandin will speak more on the corrections and values of this sort of view of incorporating original sin next week. That's on the back of your order of service. The orientation of original blessing rather than original sin begins with and emphasizes a wholeness, the sense that life is a gift to be returned to over and over again. And then giving a blessing can be understood as coming out of and then contributing to the wholeness of being. Ex-Catholic priest, now Episcopalian priest because the Catholics threw him out, and writer Matthew Fox wrote a book entitled Original Blessing. That's why he was excommunicated, in which he says, blessing involves relationship. One does not bless without investing something of oneself into the receiver of one's blessing, and one does not receive blessing oblivious to its gracious giver. A blessing spirituality is a relating spirituality. And if it is true that all creation flows from a single loving source, then all of creation is blessed and is a blessing. In this view, we receive the blessing of the gift of our being and from being itself, whether you identify that giver or not. Not only do we receive this gift, we actually get to participate in its creation and further connection as we share it in how we relate. As we share it in our relationships, how we are with other people, how we relate to each other and the world. We make the blessedness or giftedness real by how we live and the attitude we bring to the choices we make. Last week, I used the phrase from Parker Palmer talking about a fabric of belonging. A fabric of belonging. By our relational efforts, we are participating in the larger blessing of life, weaving a fabric of connectedness and right relationship, what Wendell Berry calls in community a sense of membership. The poet, theologian, and former priest John O'Donohue wrote extensively about blessing. in his book to bless the space between us, make those connections, weave that blessing, weave that fabric of belonging. He talks about the need to recover what he called the lost art of doing this work, blessing. He says, when a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. Some of the plenitude flows into our hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. In the light of blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. In a dead wall, a new window opens. In a dense darkness, a path starts to glimmer, and into a broken heart, healing falls like morning dew. So let us begin to bless one another. Whenever you give a blessing returns to enfold you. So this morning I want to focus primarily on the beginning or the first three sentences from O'Donohue's quote and talk about them in relationship with my father. But before I do that, do you have any questions or comments about the use or concept of blessing and blessings to this point? Is it working for you? Are you struggling with it? What's going on? Okay, some heads nodding. Go, Peggy.
I don't get the whole have a blessed day.
Everybody's brought that up. I mean, in conversations. I don't hear it much, so I don't. The notion was, in our Soul Matters discussion, it was said that when we hear that, we hear the politics of the religious view behind it influence us, and that's what we react to. Does that make sense? It's more the reaction. It's more the reaction to what you feel you're being told, rather than the sense or where it's coming from, than the real sense of this blessing as we're talking about. Have exactly. I think so. I think that's more our reaction to it. Hey, right, thanks for that part. Peggy just said, do you have a retort that you can get back? Well, that's not this morning. I'm not. I mean, have a blessed day. Well, a good retort would be, okay, thank you, I will. I mean, that reclaims it into you. Some way to bring it back to you rather than imposing. Does that kind of make it some way to bring it back? Okay, thank you, I will. Anybody? That's a good one. Because you see how there it is that our reaction like that, which has nothing to do with blessing, a blessing, and what we're talking about, keeps us away from even moving into that understanding and that awareness. So thank you very much, Peggy. Anybody else? Yeah. The blessing.
And for the same reason, it's usually it's always seems political.
Like the blessing before a meal?
Someone else put on me.
Oh, your blessing being put on you. Right. Yeah, I'm not talking about the sort of imposition of blessing by authority come from God. I'm talking about how we can participate. No, I know. That's what I think is that. Right, exactly. Sometimes it's a problem. So see what we've done, even in that move in the response to Peggy, is you reclaim what is real and what is going on from you and from your integrity and unapologetically. So then it's not defensive or it's not even reacting. It's like, okay, you've got that going on, but do that. Yeah, go ahead, Pat. Do you want a microphone if you're going to go on longer than I can repeat?
Don't go on too long.
Yesterday, there was a rally in front of the old courthouse protesting children being taken from their families. And speaking of retorts, I was so proud of Josepha without her even thinking about it. A pickup truck went by with a person giving us the Jersey salute, we like to call it. And Josepha immediately gave him the heart sign. I thought that was just amazing of her to think of that.
Maybe I'll do that when they say have a blessed day.
Exactly. Okay. Are we good? We got. Okay. All right. Anybody kind of got that? See how that filled it in. And that's kind of this whole notion of blessing in the way we're talking about. And when you talk about a fabric of belonging or the, and we'll talk about the more, but the neighborhood of loving kindness. It's making, figuring out ways to make those connections and reach across those divisions and even your own reaction. So what does the quote say? When a blessing is invoked, and you felt it in those examples, it changes the atmosphere. There you go. In Josepha's move to create the heart, it literally changes how we breathe. It changes our spirit. And you think as spirit is breath. Some of the plenitude flows into our hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. Original blessing. What a great phrase, the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. In the light of blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. We all, or at least I experienced that in the examples and even in being asked how to frame that. So let me first acknowledge, as I go to talk about my childhood, that I had a very privileged childhood. Male, white privilege, in post-war middle-class prosperity, the world was made for me in that space. Relatively free from the shock and disruption of major traumas, I could move through my life with a general trust in life itself, even if I didn't know to call it that. Life was trustworthy. Using the language of the morning, my life was blessed. I was blessed. Of course, as a child, I didn't see it that way. I didn't see it as good or bad. I was just living it. Also, it's because I was a guy. But I was in it without the benefit or burden of perspective, appreciation, or critique. Love had not had the time and experience to require or to become wisdom until my experience changed. There was still white male privilege, but it became more disrupted and less straightforward. There was the turmoil of the late 60s and early 70s when it all seemed to come apart. There was adulthood, or moving into adulthood, and all that that meant. There was my mother's illnesses, her chronic pain, and there was emotional instability, my parents' struggles, and then divorce. The family and world as I'd known it came apart. And along with it, in my adult life, came, in the years that followed, a disconnection from my dad. Partly, that was because the nuclear family that we'd grown up in was gone. But it was because I was grown and different. And he wasn't as good with adult sons as he'd been with growing boys. Partly it was emotional distance. I think at one point it had been interpreted that I had sided with my mom for a while. There was physical distance too. I was away in graduate school or another town. But to know where I stood, I wanted him to talk this stuff through with me. That's how I am. I needed his help to sort things out, and that isn't what he did. At least not by phone, across distances, or in time just set aside for that. Like, Dad, can we talk about this? I realized that we could talk, though, if we were together, because that's how we'd always done it. During a run or when we were fishing or when I was with him at work or him picking me up from basketball practice or when we were driving around in the orange groves working together. It was when it was a part of other things, just a part of life, and as something came up for a little while. For years, we lived in the struggle and the tension of our disconnect. We lived with something missing. Me wishing it were different, having different expectations, trying to figure it out, and being angry and hurt and feeling a little left out of something I didn't even know to name. I felt chronic, low-grade conflict and uncertainty. It wasn't really bad. It just wasn't what it was and what it might have been. I knew we loved each other, but something in the wholeness had broken. It wasn't until years later, looking back, that I realized that I was expecting him to do something he just couldn't do. It wasn't personal. It wasn't personally about me. I was expecting something he didn't do and something that was emotionally beyond the range of what he could handle. I had gained, or I might say I had been given, in that moment, the blessing, the gift of perspective. Age had brought wisdom to love. I had grown up, too. Wisdom allowed love to relax. Also, something that helped and came as a blessing was that over the years, as I've been with families and learned more about autism as a spectrum of characteristics, a whole range, I can see how my father might have been on the spectrum, as it's referred to now. It all fit together. That awareness then became a shared blessing. I saw, appreciated, and then I would say I was able to love my dad in a new, generous way. That created what? A new wholeness. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. I would say now that a blessing is wholeness noticed. Wholeness noticed. Noticed and felt. And then given being. Noticed wholeness shared. In the light of blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. So in that new light, more of the gifts my father gave and had given me came and continue to come into view. I can't begin to give you the full or whole picture of what I'm talking about and the gratitude I feel. My dad, Malcolm Robertson McKinley, Mac, was a gentle, learned man of few words but deep insights, an English major who read a lot and grew orange trees. He was comfortable working outdoors and messing around boats and water. He had a special gift for doing things together with you in an easy way. Very few times in our life ever felt like a big deal. He just knew how to bring it together. As I've said, though, he was less comfortable with dealing directly with emotional issues. Although he could be, and was very helpful when you were with him in the right space. So to wrap this up, and yes, it's way more complicated than this, but I can say that I realize and feel, I appreciate that my dad, and yes, my mom too, but in a different way, my dad gave me the lived experience from which a phrase or frame like the plenitude from the neighborhood of loving kindness resonates. I can move from that. I am drawn to emphasize original blessing and feel that life and my life are born from that source to live that blessing from the experience with my dad. He actually gave me the lived experience of my theology, as it were. So thank you, Dad. Thank you for blessing me. You were a blessing to me. This morning on my way to church, my brother Richard called and to wished me a happy Father's Day, I saw it was him on the phone, and right away I said, "Happy Father's Day." And he said, "And today is Dad's birthday." I'd forgotten. Today is my father's birthday. And then we talked about how, because it's June 17th every 7 years, that rolls around, or something like that, as a cycle of that. He would have been 90 years old today. And what's the title of our opening reading? I didn't know that. A blessing for your birth. To bless something or someone is to invoke its wholeness. A blessing is a way to remember strength, to invoke the capacity to grow and heal and change, to resist giving up. A blessing is that. If that is all a blessing is, that is so much. Praised be your father and mother who loved you before you were and trusted to call you here with no idea who you would be. Blessed be those who loved you into becoming who you were meant to be. Happy Father's Day. And I guess I should say, happy birthday. So let's just take a moment to breathe. And if you can, in this communal space, kind of focus in on your dad and those father figures in your life, or the father figure you are in lives, and think about their blessing and your blessing to them.